never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, new every morning. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing, amen, just a song of worship before we would hear the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. The steadfast love of the Lord ceases. Oh, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Oh, they are new every morning. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, say great is faithfulness. Sing it again, the steadfast love. Oh, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, for they are every morning. Yes, they are new every morning. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, say great is thy faithfulness. Amen. One more time with all your heart. Oh, say the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. No, they are new every morn. Yes, they are new every morning. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Oh, Lord, we say great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, let's give him praise tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's welcome Brother Quentin to the pulpit tonight. God bless you, Brother Quentin.
All right, let us start with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, O Lord God. Another day, O Lord God, broken bodies, broken minds, O Lord God. But we come in a place, O Lord God, where we can receive from you, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord. We know that our sacrifice is sweet-smelling. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, O Lord God, for giving us the faith, O Lord God, and the strength, O Lord, to make it out here, O Lord God. O Lord, let us return, O Lord, not empty-handed, O Lord Jesus Christ, but full of your spirit, O Lord God, that we can show the people who you are, O Lord God, not just in word, O Lord Jesus Christ, but in action, O Lord God. Lord, let it be that, O Lord, that as we leave with the anointing of your spirit on us, O Lord God, that we wouldn't even have to say a word, O Lord, but that people would know there's something different being in our presence, O Lord God, with your presence inside of us, O Lord. Yes. Bless each, every one of them, O Lord God. Answer their needs, O Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 So we'll get right into it. I don't have any slides or anything, but the title of the message is "Why We Don't Fear Judgment." So it's a good message. It's actually I got some inspiration from Brother Jack when he preached the resurrection message on Sunday. So we're going to start our journey here in Matthew chapter 7 and in verses 1 through 5. So I'll wait for everyone to get there. All right. So here it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Right? This is a beautiful, beautiful verse where Jesus is teaching us not to judge, but at the same time, we're still required to help our brother, right? Which means we still got to judge situations, right? We still got to judge the situations, right? And the key word in this last verse, verse 5, it says, "And then thou shalt see clearly." We know "see" from the prophet means to understand clearly, right? Right? So you got to understand the situation before you can provide help to your brother, right? A lot of times we like to send people to hell on little things and stuff, and it's most of the time when you're trying to help someone, they know they're wrong, which is why people go to the hospital. They know they're sick. They know something's not right, right? So it's our job to give them a word of encouragement to get them back on path, right? But you got to understand how to do it. So why don't we fear judgment? Oh, yes, y'all can be seated. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Why don't we fear judgment? There's a couple questions that we have to ask for that, right? So, one, we have to establish where is judgment today, right? So, judgment lies in the body of the saints, right? Judgment lies in God. And this is where I kind of got inspiration from Brother Jack about how the old saints had the power to stay in the grave. He was touching on that point because the resurrection was in them, and they could leave anytime they wanted to, but they had the power to stay in the grave, right? And so you see, judgment lies in the saints just as much as the resurrection does, and God has a plan with all of that. So when you've received the message of your day, judgment lies inside of you. Resurrection is in the message, judgment is in the message, and it all lies inside of you. It is in us to judge, right? It is in us to judge. A lot of times people say, and we'll get to this saying again, only God can judge me. But God is using people to judge you, right? When he places his message inside of people, he's using them to judge your situation, right? So as Brother Jack was preaching about, you know, those saints had the power to stay down in there. And there was a reason why they got to stay down there. There was a reason why we don't want them to come out there just yet, right? And there's also a reason why we have to die to ourselves as well when we are dealing with situations, right? We have to die to what we want to say about things, right? Because the fact of us saying something could bring judgment. So we want to be careful about exactly what we say and kind of let God lead the direction of what we're saying, right? Amen. So that is where the judgment lies today. It is in his saints. Right. The next question to ask is, what exactly is judgment, right? And you can read throughout the Bible everywhere. You see judgment all over the place. But there are different kinds of judgment, right? And the time you receive it or when you receive it shows which one you're dealing with. So we're going to go over to James chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13.
Praise the Lord.
All right.
Amen. Glory.
And it reads here, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he said that do not commit adultery, said also do not kill. So he's saying, this is God saying, don't commit adultery and don't kill, right? We know the commandments. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So here he's saying you can't just pick and choose what you want to do, right? You have to eat the whole book. You have to follow the whole book. And here comes the key verse here in verse 12. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And that's very, very important. We want the law of liberty to be, we want to be in judgment of the law of liberty, wow. Right? As we read the next verse, verse 13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. So see, here we see two judgments. One is being judged by the law of liberty. Another one is being judged without mercy because they didn't show any mercy, wow. Right? Wow. And then the most beautiful thing in this verse 13 is mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Wow. That's the kind of judgment I would want to be in. Right. Something that there's still a rejoicing in, amen. Right? Amen. Something where there's still a praise in, right? That's the kind of judgment that that I would want to receive. And that's the kind of judgment that we want to give to people, that they can leave with joy, right, and hope in their heart, knowing that, hey, there's hope for me, right? Amen. I can make it out of the situation. And, there's no condemnation where you what Brother Branham says, you're kicking them down the ditch instead of trying to help them up, right? Amen. So that's the kind of judgment that we want to give because judgment lies in us. So it's important the kind of judgment we give to people, and that's what God is concerned about for us. So we're going to read some stories where God gives this judgment within the law of liberty, right? These ones haven't received mercy. This is the kind of judgment where mercy always follows, right? And there can be a rejoicing in that judgment. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel. Going to go to 2 Samuel. And it's going to be verses 5 through 7. I'll give a chapter 12. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. And just to kind of give a summary, David had committed a sin. He had committed adultery, then committed a murder. And so Nathan the prophet, God sent Nathan the prophet to come talk to David. And he gives a story about a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man, taken from the poor man, yes. Right? And he's telling this story. He ain't mentioned that as David. And that's the beautiful thing that I like about it. God didn't just come down there and say, David, you're wrong. Wow. He wanted to know where David's heart was.
Amen.
He wanted to know where David's heart was. He wanted to check the maturity of David, right? So we're going to read what David's reaction was when Nathan had given this story, starting from verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that have done this thing shall surely die. No mercy, he's going to die, right? And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing. And because he hath no pity, verse 7, right? And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, right? So now David's like, oh, hold on a second. Wait. Hold on. Let me kind of backtrack, right? But one of the beautiful things in this verse 7 is the next part. Even though Nathan had said, David, you're that man. The next part is, thus saith the Lord. So now God is speaking. Whenever there's a thus saith the Lord, he said, thus saith the Lord of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, right? And that's the most important part. God is confessing, David, I made you a king. And a king is also a judge, right? God had told David, God has said, David, you was a man after his own heart. So right away, God is saying, David, I just can't cut you off. I told you would be king. I anointed you king. I called you to this position. And remember, he received the anointing by accepting the message of a prophet. A prophet had come into town, was looking to anoint someone king. God said, hey, God told me to anoint David. David accepted the anointing of that prophet, right? So God couldn't just cut him off, right? I believe God was upset, though, with David's reaction and hearing how he judged the man, and there was no mercy after God had called him to judge. So we're going to keep reading, and we're going to go to verses 2 Samuel 12, verses 11 through 13. All right. So now here's just God giving some judgment. God giving some judgment to David, right? He says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And that's a beautiful verse right there, because I love the laws of contrast that you see in the Bible, which makes God just, right? Because the Bible says, when you pray in secret, Jesus instructed them to pray in secret so that your Heavenly Father would reward you openly. And so here we see David doing something secretly, and God saying, all right, you did it in secret, but I'm going to expose this thing to everybody. So it's beautiful to see the laws of contrast and the righteous judgment, how God gives you what you ask for, all right? And we're going to keep reading. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." That's the beautiful thing. He recognized he was wrong. And he said, God, your judgment is right. I did wrong, right? "And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." David had confessed that this man should die. And God gave him his judgment, told him this is all you're going to suffer. And at the end of all of it, God said, I've put your sin away. You're not going to die. And I'm thankful that God doesn't give us what we deserve sometimes, right? And we're going to sit on this for a little bit, because it's not just in judging. A lot of times we think about judging right from wrong, but it's a lot of times it's in the situations. You know, it's you could be sick, right? I mean, on the deathbed, stage 4 cancer, and you done judge the situation, I'm about to die. Wow. But what does God say about it, right? What does God say about it? You know, you may have, you know, wayward kids out there. I mean, they're just saturated in sin. You're like, man, there's no hope in that. Wow. But what does God say about that, right? So it's important to get the mind of Christ inside of you so you can judge situations rightly, right? Or else, man, we just be like David, it's just dead. It's dead. Situation dead. Situation dead. But then God's got to come back to the prophet and say, no, there's still life, right? There's still life. All right, so we see the law of judgment. We see the judgment here within the law of liberty, how there's always mercy at the end of it. And all that God had told David, all that judgment, he said, you're going to deal with this. The sword's not going to leave your house, but you ain't going to die. So the judgment had come, but there was mercy at the end. I believe that's something David could be happy about, to hear that no matter what, the sword is not going to leave my house. I'm going to suffer for all these things, but I ain't going to die. He has something to rejoice about, that God wasn't going to leave him, right? So we love this kind of judgment where people can leave with some relief, right? You done made the mistake. You got to go through it, right? But there's mercy at the end of it, right? There's mercy at the end of it. It's the reason why David could write the book of Psalms. While he was going through that situation, he still had a praise. Amen. He still had a praise to God. Wow. He could still reach out to God. Amen. He could still talk to God. Amen. Even though he know he did wrong, he was going through family situations, the household situation with the wives, and he still had a praise on the inside amidst all the judgment that God had given. Amen. Right? Amen. So now we're going to go to another story of somebody else, and this is going to be in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to start from the verse 17. We're going to start from verse 17, right? And this is Sister Rahab, right? And the city, and this is Joshua, and this is, I believe, God speaking. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. right? This is a lot to unpack. And it's one of the reasons why we really, really love the story of Rahab. So we notice in verse 17, God had come down and judged this city, right? He said it's accursed, and he's going to destroy it, right? Judgment come down, God said, I've cursed it, I'm going to destroy it. Now, we have to come back to that train of thought of the only God can judge me thought, right? Because I hear that a lot. I see that a lot. I hear it a lot on social media from a lot of people that, you know, profess Christianity, right? And it's a funny thought because it's the thought that says only God can judge me. I can keep living and doing what I want to do, and God is still before me, right? But let's look at the attitude of Rahab during this ordeal. Because God done cursed her city, right? God done cursed it. And we can translate that to saying, God is saying, I don't like your culture. I don't like what you guys talk about. All right. I don't like what you guys think about. All right. I don't like your entertainment. Right. I don't like your music. Right. I don't like the parties. I don't like the clothes. I don't like the businesses. Right. Don't like the government. I don't like the lifestyle. Yeah. I don't like your ideas, right? And Rahab had to withstand this judgment against her culture or her way of life. Lord. And say, Lord, you're right.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Right? That's opposite from how these other people think this only God can judge me. I can still do what I want and God still be. Rahab had a total opposite mindset.
Right.
And she said, you know what? Lord, you're right. It's horrible. Yeah. The city that I live in is horrible. The things that I've been doing in life is horrible. Right? And we're going to go to this message, Why Cries Speak, 59, 100. And we're going to see what the prophet had to say about this situation with Rahab, right? So it is. Watch, she's pulling up. I'll start reading. So it is today, nothing less. I think today I'd make a mention of one woman that I think of in the Bible. And she was bad to begin with. Rotten to the core. A young, beautiful woman by the name of Rahab. She was a heathen to start with, and she was a prostitute. Can you imagine, like, we haven't even gotten to anything yet. Only good thing I heard was just a young, beautiful woman. But outside of that, bad to begin with. Rotten to the core. Heathen to start with. She was a prostitute on the street. But she heard there was a God, not an idol that set dumb or declaration of creeds, but a God who lived among his people, anointed them, and signs and wonders was following them.
Yeah.
She heard about it. One day, two representatives came to Jericho, those the messengers, and quickly, on her street as a prostitute, she called them, took them into the house and said, they're after you, and she hit them, right? And I like that because these messengers were carrying a message. And I like when the prophet says, and the Bible says, that she hit them in her house, right? She took the message, right, which was a message of judgment that, hey, your city's coming down. And she took that, hid it inside of her own household, right? So it's a good indication of taking the message and hiding it in your heart.
Amen.
Right? And I like her attitude. She never said, I'll believe it when I see the great anointed Joshua do some sign. If I could have seen Moses do the signs, I would have believed it. But she said, I've heard. Faith coming by hearing, hearing of the word of God, right?
Amen.
So and it just kind of amazed me how he was just talking. I mean, he just rotten to the core, heathen. She said, but it was true. She knew it was true.
Yeah.
And her attitude was, Lord, help me. Down here in the paragraph 59, you don't have to pull it up. She said, I've heard that the God of heaven, who is a real God with you all,
yes,
and he's done great signs and wonders. He dried up the Red Sea. He brought plagues upon Egypt. We see how he turned the enemy over to your hands, and our whole country is trembling. So she knew judgment was coming. And this is what she said, I'm asking mercy. I'm asking mercy, right? So not only did Rahab have to withstand that attack by God on her culture and her way of life, but all the ones that wanted to follow Rahab into the house had to have the same mindset,
yes,
right? By agreeing to the destruction of the city, they approved that the judgment of God was right. They said, Lord, you're right. Meaning they wasn't going to fight for the city. They wasn't going to defend it. They wasn't going to defend their way of life, right? They said, no, it needs to be destroyed.
Wow.
The Bible said He told the army of Israel to kill the man, the woman, young, old, yes. animals. I mean, old people. I mean, it's everything. Yes. Wipe it all out.
That's right.
And they was agreeing with it.
Wow.
They probably knew some of the people. They probably had friendships with some of the people. They probably had their favorite stores, their favorite restaurants. God was said, nope, I'm taking it all out. So it showed inside of their heart that they were totally sold out on this message, that they weren't willing to take anything with them, right? Now, even in that decision, and this is the other part, even in that decision, God didn't take them out of the city during the time of his destruction, right? They were instructed to put a scarlet thread on the outside of their house,
right?
And that's God's way of saying, now you guys, y'all sinned in the city, so you got to stay, right? You got to stay. Judgment's coming, you got to stay. But because you received the messengers, there was a red scarlet as instructed that they could put over their door of the house, which signified God wasn't going to touch it. The prophet said that when they came inside and destroyed the city, only Rahab's section stood up. Only Rahab's section stood up. She still went through the judgment, but there was mercy at the end. Meaning that I imagine inside that house, while they hearing everything that's going on the outside, they could shout, they could praise, they could sing, they could enjoy the food they were eating, knowing that it wasn't going to touch them. Not one sword of destruction was going to touch them, right?
Amen.
So this is a representation of as we were preaching before, of mercy rejoicing against judgment, right? This is a type of judgment that God has given to Rahab and them, but he made a way of escape inside of there. And we want to read verses 22, Joshua 6, 22, 22, 23, and 25. All right. So it says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought her out of the kindred and left them without the camp of Israel, right? So the same messengers that came to give her the message of grace were the same messengers that came and brought her out into the camp of Israel. So it's the message that's going to take you places, right?
Amen.
It's not how good you are.
Amen.
It's not what you think of the thing,
Amen.
Right? It's your reaction to the message, and then the message does everything else. It didn't say they had to get up and go to the camp themselves. No, they said, Joshua said, no, go and get them and bring them, right, into the camp.
Amen.
And, of course, the camp of Israel representing, spiritual Israel representing eternity, right? We want to go back to Israel. That's the true nation that will survive everything, right? And it's funny because I was experiencing a moment of this. I remember it was Monday. I had just come back from doing some business, and I was sitting in Wawa's, and I was on my phone because sometimes I like to go to Wawa's and just eat and just sit in my car. And I was on my phone and I read this story about a woman who had this guy had done. This guy was accused of doing something to this woman, which was proven to be false, and the man had to spend 16 years in jail. Right, 16 years in jail for something he did not do. And man, it just, like, I just got angry. I just got upset. When I heard the response of the woman, it kind of sounded like there was no remorse in it. Right, and I just got the, man, she deserves this, 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 and that. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that can come on you and tell you to stop thinking certain things.
Amen.
Stop thinking certain things. Because then it started coming to my mind, do you know her end?
Wow.
Do you know her end?
Mm.
Right? Because this is the funny thing. Well, not the funny thing of the matter, but this is the thing of the matter. If within her last breaths of life, If she asks God for mercy and God grants that mercy with her, her sins are gone.
Amen.
On the flip side, if this young man, this guy that was done wrong, if within his last breaths, he doesn't ask God for mercy, his sins will still be there. I don't care how wrong he was. Right? So in that moment, I believe it was God teaching me, you got to judge rightly. Right? You can't judge people by their circumstances, by what they're going through. Right? It's always the ending of it. And you never know what situation someone is going in. It's one of the reasons why we can see in the Bible, Paul has such a good work. God used Paul to write so many books in the Bible, right? So many books in the Bible. But if you look at how he started, it kind of would have thrown you off. When God was trying to begin the work of God inside of Paul, right, dealing with his brethren, they didn't even want to talk to him. They said, "What? This guy is against you." God said, "No, go and baptize him. I've chosen him. I've ordained him for work." Yes. Right? He ordained him for work. So it's never, you got to judge situations rightly, and it's never by how you think the situation should go.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why in the Bible, when God anointed Solomon king, he asked the right thing as being a king. He said, "Lord, give me the wisdom in order for him to judge situations rightly." And
Amen.
It pleased God
Amen.
When he asked that thing. Because he didn't want his opinion on the matter.
Right.
He wanted what God saw in the situation of the matter. So and that's how God wants us to be. Because the judgment lies inside of us, which is why we're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of judgment because God is using us to judge.
Amen.
Right? God is using us to judge. But the kind of judgment we need to use has to be right. Has to be righteous. Right? And that kind of judgment always comes with mercy at the end, right? Always comes with mercy at the end, right? So, and we get that judgment, and a lot of, we don't just get that judgment by God just coming in and just giving us judgment, and we just going out there and just judging people wrong. No, in our mistakes, right? In our mistakes, in our sins, and we sin every day. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times one day, but we get back up 8. In our sins, right, in our mistakes and the things that we do, when we come back to God and ask God for forgiveness and ask God for mercy, right, we're proving his judgments right, which then gives us not only judgment on a situation, but compassion, right, which is what a lot of people lack when they try to judge, is they try to judge a situation with no compassion, right? No compassion, no care. It's just you did wrong. People know they're wrong, but now they want to know what can I do to get back. And a lot of times it's not what you say, but it's what they see. It's what they see in your life. When they see you make mistakes, right? When you admit that you made mistakes, it gives people confidence. That's why the prophet, one time the prophet was, the tax collector was calling him, and the prophet ain't want to deal with that situation. And he just walked away and told his wife to tell him he wasn't there when he was there. He told a lie, tried to go pray for a baby, and the same Jesus here called him a hypocrite, praying for that kid. Go make that thing right. Brother Brandon went back, told the man, "Hey, I was there. I did it wrong." And this guy, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but the response from the guy was, "Brother Branham, I now have more confidence in you.
Amen.
I have more confidence in you that you've done the right thing." So even in making your mistakes wrong, right, it's a life that's being proven that gives confidence to people.
Amen.
No judgment was given, but the fact that Brother Branham was living a life that was according to the gospel brought confidence
right.
in a man that we don't even know was a Christian.
That's right.
It brought confidence inside
yes,
of him,
right?
Without having to say one word of judgment of your wrong.
Oh my.
Not one judgment of your wrong, right? So when we prove the judgments of God as true, it builds our ability to judge righteously, right? It builds our ability to judge righteously, right? And one of the things is because the way we judge people, it shows which judgment we will receive, right? The Bible clearly said in James 2, it says, you know, those that judge without, those that receive judgment without mercy because they showed no mercy, right? So I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that can come into our lives when we want to judge situations, you know, wayward children, friends, what we think about the politics and all that kind of stuff, right? God can come and say, hold on a second. I see what you're doing. I know they're wrong, but I need you to end it with some mercy, right? I need you to end that judgment with some mercy,
wow,
right? Because it shows what judgment we receive. God doesn't want us to receive judgment with no mercy. So we can't give it without any mercy, right? We cannot give it without any mercy, right? It's a hypocrisy. One of the stories the prophet had actually went through, where he kind of had a little hypocrisy. It was a little hypocrisy moment for him. Is he went into this establishment one time, and I think it was like drinking, and people were just in there sinning. And the prophet said, Lord, burn it all down. Thought he was doing something. Thought he was doing God a work. Thought he was doing God a service. He said, just burn it right down to the ground. Right? No compassion. No love. The prophet. This is one of the things, like, we ain't following a man. We're not following a man. Men will, the flesh of a man, I don't care how righteous it looks, won't lead you to Christ.
Amen.
So you got to be careful. And I was thinking to myself, imagine if we would have had people in that establishment with Brother Branham, and he would have said that words, how would they have reacted? If you were following a man, oh, man, the prophet's right. He's
wow.
True.
Wow.
But if you got God's spirit, that spirit got to say, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I don't know if that sounds just right.
Glory.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what we're looking for. We're not pushing down the man. That was God's chosen man, God's chosen
Amen.
Vessel. But
Amen.
Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes, sir.
Right? So here we have the prophet in this establishment, and he's wanting God to burn the place down. Right? And so God said, hold on a second. Took him to a little corner.
Right.
I love those little corner moments where God can get a hold of you and say, hold on a second.
Right.
God showed him a vision, and his sins were going. As they were going to God, there was like a red streak, a bumper,
right,
so they wouldn't get to the throne of God. And God and Brother Branham had asked God for forgiveness, and God had wrote forgiven, right? And that changed his whole mind. That one little moment changed his whole mind, and he was able to go inside of that establishment. And there was a lady sitting down there, had all kinds of makeup on, and she was talking to guys, and he came down there and just started talking to her and catching her spirit. To come to find out, it was a sheep hidden in wolf's clothes.
Amen.
And he was ready to burn the place down.
Amen.
You see, it's the bride don't persecute bride.
Amen.
So that's why God has to give us those corner moments.
Glory.
to first realize that we ain't what we are
right. By
ourselves.
Amen.
We didn't get to the position that we are by ourselves.
Wow.
We don't deserve. And it's just like David. We don't get what we deserve, right? David was ready to cast this person, die him out, and God said, no, David, I ain't going to kill you. That's not what I think about you, right? And so he found this little lady, started talking to her, and then she recommitted her life to Christ. Come to find out, she was always a sheep. She had just gotten astray a little bit. So God had sent him to this place not to judge it,
right. But
to get the one. Right? To get the one. Leave the 99 to get the one.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Right? So, in closing in a little bit, Brother Jack talked about the staying power of the saints in the grave. We love that staying power.
Amen.
That shows that there's still a work to be done.
Amen.
Right? A lot of times, you know, you have some people that say, you know, oh, man, I miss my loved ones. I miss my uncle. You know, he was a saint and he's passed on. I miss grandma, I miss mama and all, my brother and everything like that. They were saints and they moved on and they're in the grave. And I want to see them again. If your life ain't right, you don't want them to raise up yet. You don't want them to raise up yet. Right. Because that judgment is lying inside of them.
Right.
Right. The
Amen.
Judgment is lying inside of them.
That's right.
So that's why it's a beautiful thing.
Lord.
When Brother Jack was preaching about that thing, that staying power,
wow.
Right? To stay down in the grave and not resurrect,
wow.
So that we could get our last loved ones in,
Amen.
Right? So we could get someone in. in the body, because as soon as they raise up, it's finished.
Amen.
They have a purpose of holding back the wrath of God while they're staying in the grave. So that's why God's like, nope, y'all can't come up yet. Yeah. It means God, not only is God working on our loved ones, but God's working on us.
Amen.
Right? Lord, is there an area in my life where I haven't totally surrendered to you? That means I still need work. I'm not ready for them to come up. Amen. So when we receive the judgment of God now, right, in our life, it's only to perfect us. That's why there isn't any fear in it, right? The only way you can fear judgment is if you haven't accepted the antidote for it. That's the only way that you can fear it. Because judgment, Jesus said it himself. He says, I come not into the world to condemn it, right? But through me that people would receive life.
That's right.
That's what Jesus said. He said, I ain't coming here to judge.
Right.
Which is why my people that have my spirit, they ain't judging either.
Amen.
Right? Which is why we need our little correction moments. My dad actually showed a message to me from the Lifeline app. And this was something that kind of hit me before I received this message. He says here, you don't have to pull up, I'll just read it. And if there's anything that we ought to be, is kind to one another. When you see a brother or sister in fault, don't never breathe it to nobody. Keep it to yourself and pray for that person. Be kind to them. And if the Spirit of God is in you, then you will be kind to one another. Jesus said, I come to do thy will, Father. We are about the Master's business, and he was about the Father's business. And the same Spirit that he had to begin the works of the Father and to finish the atonement to make a way that we could carry the message, if that Spirit is in you, you'll have that attitude towards people, trying to do what you can to help them. No matter who they are and where they are, you'll try to help people. Amen. It's kind of strong, but it's the truth, right? So it's that Spirit that God has blessed us with is always looking to show mercy, to show grace, to help people in their situations, right? And yes, there is a judgment that comes with situations. It's like a doctor. If you ain't eating what you're supposed to eat, right, and you come up in the doctor's office, he got to be honest with you, right? But they try to be kind, though. They don't just if it's a good doctor, right? If it's a good doctor, they ain't gonna just say anything, right? Because they don't want to hurt you. They don't want to hurt you. But at the same time, you're wrong. But I'm still trying to help you. And that's how God wants us to be, right? You don't help people by getting down on their level. That's not how you win people to Christ. You don't win people to Christ by living the lifestyle that they have. No, we are against the lifestyle, right? Jesus, when God came to Rahab and them, he said, I'm destroying the city. Starbucks, everything is going. It's gone, right? He wasn't going in there trying to sit and talk it out. He was going to destroy it. But for those that could receive the message, he was willing to give that offer mercy, right? Give that an offer mercy, right? So, there's nothing we should fear in judgment, right? God sends his word to us in order to perfect us, to make us more perfect. David said, if there be anything inside, Lord, that is not of you, O Lord, search me. Search my heart, right? David was asking for judgment. He wasn't asking for the bad judgment, but he was asking for the good judgment, right? Because God's going to be honest about your situation, right? That's one of the things the prophet would say before you come up to this prayer line. If you want nothing exposed, don't come up.
That's right.
Right? Because God's going to look at your heart. He's not going to He's not going to reason with you. He's going to tell it like it is. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is wrong. And that's one of the reasons why, the children of Israel, when Moses was coming and talking to them, they was like, no, we want to talk to God directly. You know, they thought that God was going to be like, hey, what's going on, kids? How y'all doing today? But it was a terrible voice from heaven, because it was a righteous God looking into their hearts and exposing the things that they had hidden in there. They said, no, we don't want to hear. No, Moses talked to us.
Wow.
Moses, you got more grace, which was a beautiful thing because Moses was a Christ to the people.
Amen.
When God was looking to destroy them.
Now,
Moses, he had gone through so much stuff with the people of Israel. They had got on his nerves so much, right? But when God was looking to destroy them, Moses stood in the gap, said, Lord, don't do it.
Amen.
Lord, don't do it. And I could see God looking at Moses and seeing himself.
Amen.
So then he said, you know what? I can't. Right. I can't do it because I see myself in you.
Amen.
Making an atonement for my people, right? And that's how God wants us to be in our situations when we're judging things, right? I tell you, there's a Bible verse where it says that there will be days where there'll be no compassion, no forgiveness. I go online and I see a lot of these videos of, you know, people talk about murderers and abusers and stuff like that. And you read the comments and people just lock them up, put them under the cell, right? No mercy. No forgiveness, right? They did wrong, judge them. They did wrong, judge them,
wow.
Right? And it's sad because it shows what's in their hearts, right? They want to be judged with no mercy,
amen.
Right? And so I'm thankful that that we can receive a message from a prophet and not only just see the prophet just talk about it, but even be in a situation where he was just like that and God had to pull him back there and say, hold on a second, you're not right. And for him to be able to give us that experience to know that ain't nobody holy, and we all need God.
Amen.
We all need God to give compassion on each other, and there's a reason for it. And when we see the mind of Christ, and we see that there's a lost sheep, Jesus said, I'll leave the 99, which is a beautiful thing, right? 99 righteous, living right, they doing everything right, they doing exactly what you want, right? But God said, I'll leave every single one of them just to get one, right? So when we receive judgment now, God is trying to judge us righteously, not only for ourselves so that we won't receive the judgment without mercy, but to also look for someone else that may need mercy, right? So I'll end it with that. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the word of the Lord on tonight. Amen. Just a wonderful, wonderful thought there from Brother Quentin. I don't think I've ever looked at that scripture in all my years. I don't think I never looked at that scripture. But wow, not to just look at it, but to take us through the Bible and show us examples of what James was telling us there. I thought that was just a very, very remarkable thought, you know, at James 2:10-13. I have to go back and look at that, but the one statement, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And I think the heart of the thought is just get us to realize that even as we have to, we have to judge situations. You know, sometimes things get out of hand, and in a household, sometimes the parents have to say something to the kids. You know, they have to get them back in line. And but the fact of the matter is that we're also looking to try to bring mercy into whatever we're doing. And I think it just really, really just helps us. So praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Quentin. We really, really appreciate you. Amen. On tonight. Let me just have the announcements and we'll make mention of that. And our Sunday morning prayer from 9 to 10. And Sunday morning service at 10:30, and then streaming will go through Twitter and Facebook and also our church website. I want to mention that on this Sunday, I got a text communication from Brother Gene in Boynton, and he was telling me that he had a brother preaching for him this week from Zambia, a minister from Zambia by the name of Brother Jimmy Nakasha. And he actually says, Brother Jack, he'd be preaching for us, but, you know, he'd be available on Sunday morning to preach for you if you'd like to have him. I say, well, Brother, we'd certainly love to have him, because every time we have a minister coming this way, he always opens his doors to allow the minister to preach, you know, there. So I said, please, you know, send them over, and they're going to bring them over for us. So we'll have a guest minister from Zambia, a minister from Zambia. His name is Brother Jimmy Nakasha. That'll be with us on Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. Also, our couples fellowship, we found out that we had, there was, you know, many that couldn't do the last one because of the date. They had conflicts, but we did change it. Saturday, May 6th, 6:30 p.m., and we ask that you please see Sister Erica, Sister Tanya to RSVP for this by April 23rd. And also our church picnic, that'll be coming up on Memorial Day, Monday, May 29th, so keep that in mind. We do have the pavilion reserved over there at Haverhill Park, so keep that in mind for May, Memorial Day there in May. Our giving is Cash App, Zelle, or PayPal. And again, Cash App, $SpiritandTruth, Zelle is giving at john423.org. And I know that there's some that use PayPal. That's what they have. We discourage it because they always take fees out of it. So you know, but if you have to use it, we do understand. Giving at john423.org is where you can give to there. And also Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422 is our mailing address if you want to mail something in. Praise the Lord. All right, before we would leave tonight, just want to give space for anyone that might have a prayer request or a praise report that they want to make mention of. We will give space for that. Yes.
We prayed for Bob last week. Got news today that Bob passed this morning. So just want to make a family prayer.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right. We'll remember both of those families in prayer. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. This gentleman, Bob, that Brother Quentin is referring to, he was a staple here in our community. And one of the restaurants that I frequent a lot is Pete's Place, right here on Okeechobee and Jog. And oftentimes I'd go in there and I'd see Bob sitting in there just eating his meal, and he always had that World War II veteran hat on. And I would just get whoever his waitress was just bring me his check, because I just like to, you know, pay respect to a veteran, you know, like that. And I used to do that, you know, quite often. He would never know that I was doing it. You know, I just tell him, Bob, it's on the house, and Bob is taking care of you. You don't have to worry. And I would, you know, never made any issue out of it. But come to find out, they had the Honda Classic here just recently. And my cousin is over kind of bringing all the veterans there to the golf event. And Bob was calling my cousin, you know, all the time, like, hey, you got me tickets? You got me tickets? Like, yeah, I got you. I'll take care of you. And so they were just working with Bob and making sure that he was taken care of. And he would go to his little special section there at the Honda Classic. And he was like the chief of the area. You know, everybody knew Bob in his 90s. And so my cousin, you know, was getting ready. The Classic was coming to a close. And his son told him, says, Bob is ready to go. He's like, okay, take him on to the car. He says, no, Dad, I think this time you need to take Bob to the car. I think you need to take him. And he says, yeah, Dad, I think you need to take him. So my cousin put him in the little golf cart, and he told his son Chris. He said, Chris, when I put him in the golf cart, I want you to have everybody in that section just salute Bob as he leaves here. And so as Bob, they got him in the golf cart, everybody was upstairs, they turned around and said, Bob is leaving, they all saluted Bob. And just a special moment, my cousin took him on a special ride through the Honda Classic, places that most people couldn't get into. But he took Bob through all of this to let him see everything. And Bob's son had told my cousin, he says, I think he was just living just to be able to come one more time to this classic event. And my cousin just treated him with just utmost respect, you know, as a soldier. And not sure, not knowing if he would make it, you know, another year. But I tell you what, they for the best of his ability, they sent him home, you know, just as an honored soldier. And we certainly want to just pray for his family that God would just help them during this time. But this man certainly was an icon here in the community, just well-respected, well-known. And I know many people are going to miss Bob. They'll miss him a lot. But let's just keep that family in prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we first want to say thank you for the word of God that has been given to us tonight. Thank you for you just using Brother Quentin to just share these things, how we need to be so careful in judging or misjudging situations or being too quick to judge. Lord, we want to be righteous in what we're doing like you, and we want to share your heart in the midst of every situation that we encounter. Lord, we want to remember a couple people. Lord, Bob and his family, you've called him from this earth, and Lord, his family now has to pick up all the pieces, so we pray that you would undergird them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them during this time. It's not easy to lose a loved one, and a man that has had a tremendous impact on a lot of people. And Lord, just been a staple here. Just, you know, everybody knew him wherever he went. Thank you for his service to our country. And Lord, we just ask that you would just undergird them and strengthen them, Lord, and help them during this moment. We also want to remember this couple that lost their baby today. God, it's not easy going through anything like that. We pray that you would give this couple strength, that you would help them, Lord, during this time, that you would touch them, that you would just minister to their hearts, Lord, in the only way that you can. We ask, oh God, that you would just minister to the saints, Lord, as they leave this place, but not your presence. May they go, Lord, just, Lord, just encourage with the word of God tonight. Those that watched online, may they be encouraged as well through what they heard here tonight. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Other thing I just want to make mention of real quick. Keep Brother Troy in prayer. On Sunday, he'll be actually going to minister at a church there in Port St. Lucie. It's a pastor. Actually, some of you all know Brother Roosevelt that was there in Okeechobee for a little bit. He started a work there in Port St. Lucie, and Brother Roosevelt has, I think, recently lost his daughter. She had a baby and something, you know, after giving birth to the baby, something happened. I think he ended up losing her. And then after he got through that, then the enemy started attacking his body. And one thing I thought I heard, that they were trying to take a foot or a part of the leg or something like that. So he's really going through some things, and they called and asked Brother Troy if he would come and just help him, you know. So I'm happy that we got, you know, people that we can send from the church to help. And so just keep them in prayer that God will use them there just to be a help to the saints in the church there in Port St. Lucie on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll have the brothers come at this time to dismiss. And see you all on Sunday. God bless you.